Okay, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 8, verse 12. We are continuing in our short series on the glory of Jesus Christ and the great benefits of knowing Him. I call it a short series because after finishing the Bible study sermon lectures on the New Testament, that's all that I've been preaching on. So this evening we're going to talk about the great virtue of knowing Christ and living for His glory from John 8:12, the personal reward and blessing of following Him as He is the light of the world. So we've seen many times before from Scripture that everything about the church and the ministry, worship and preaching, discipleship and Christian education, as well as the Christian life, should be Christ-centered. That Christ should be exalted and glorified in all that we do. Our worship and obedience to God, our faith and devotion, our walk in the Spirit, our work and service in the world as well as in His kingdom, our prayers and devotions, everything, whether we eat or drink, we ought to do it for the glory of God in the name of Jesus Christ. He is to have the preeminence. And certainly a life of sanctification is a life of knowing Christ, following Him, and learning from Scripture about His divine glory, His saving work, His mediatorial office, His life and ministry, all the great truths of His suffering and death and His resurrection and glory, learning His word and doctrine. Everything about Him is sanctifying. Jesus Christ, of course, is central to the Word, central to Scripture, central to sound doctrine, and therefore should be central to the Christian life. And so it is important that we know and understand that our greatest happiness and blessing in life is to have a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. There's nothing more valuable in all the world than the knowledge of Christ. There's nothing that we own or that we could ever possess that is more important to us than the knowledge of Christ revealed to us in Scripture. There's nothing more profitable and more sanctifying to our lives than the knowledge of Jesus Christ. For sure, to know Christ is to be blessed with all the riches of God's grace and to have an interest in all that is true and holy, just and good and virtuous. As we saw this morning, the great and many spiritual blessings that come to us from Christ, knowing Him. Because knowing Him brings life and salvation, peace with God, true joy and spiritual comfort, assurance of God's saving love, as well as eternal life. The knowledge of Christ is truly the fountain of love and grace. And it's for this reason that the Lord Jesus Christ, in rebuking the scribes and Pharisees for their false doctrine and religious hypocrisy, declares in John chapter 8, verse 12, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." And Jesus says here that those who follow Him, those who know Him, those who are devoted to Him and learn from Him and take up the cross, will have the light of life, will have the greatest personal blessing and excellence in their life. For He is not only the way to life and salvation, but also the way to a life of godly virtue, though it be under the cross and suffering. In other words, there is great personal blessing to following Christ, to knowing Christ, and to live for His glory. As Solomon says, the path of the righteous shines brighter and brighter to the perfect day. And that is true in the Christian life. John Trapp said, "Nothing is more beneficial to our souls, more comforting to our hearts, more enriching to our minds, and more sanctifying to our lives than the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, of His divine glory as the Son of God, and as the only mediator and savior of fallen man." There is an excellency to the knowledge of Christ that not only brings us to life and salvation, communion with God, a knowledge of the truth, an understanding of the world and all things. The greatest comfort anybody can have. It also makes us virtuous. And so Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 11, that it was the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ that was his greatest pursuit. Right? Even though he was a Jewish scholar and a Pharisee. He says, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. The Apostle Paul says there is such an excellency to the knowledge of Jesus Christ that it was his chief and highest pursuit. Now, certainly the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. But the only way that anyone is able to do that is through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And therefore, it should be a great encouragement to our faith and a motivation to our life of serving Christ to know that Christ rewards and blesses his people, not only in heaven, but now, by his grace working in us. Now, the Lord promises to reward his people on the day of judgment for all their good works, certainly. Right, as we saw before, for works of ministry, works of piety, and works of charity. We will all be rewarded. But there is a promise of God's blessing today that we should remember. We should remember how important it is, therefore, to know Christ and to live for his glory to make us better, to make us excellent. If the knowledge of Jesus Christ is excellent, then knowing Christ should make us excellent. And so the greater diligence that we show in the Christian life, in knowing Christ and following Christ, living a life of faith and repentance, humility, a life of worship and obedience to God, building our lives on Scripture and sound doctrine, the greater personal blessing we will experience now. As I said, there are rewards for the righteous, and that includes God's favor and blessing now, the joy of knowing Christ, and not just being an average Christian, but an excellent Christian. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. We would like, therefore, we should desire, therefore, to follow Christ and to have the light of his glory leading our way, sanctifying our life. Who wants to be an average Christian? Do athletes want to be just average? Of course not. All athletes want to be the best in the world. They have an ambition of being the most valuable player, winning the championship. As believers, we should want to live for Christ in the light of his grace, in the knowledge of his truth, and always for his glory, crucifying the flesh, overcoming sin, selfish ambition, to live for him. There's a natural desire in people to do the best at what they do. Most people in the world want to improve themselves one way or another. They want to become better at what they do, even if they're often misdirected by sinful pursuits or selfish ambition. But you know, people are always looking to get better. That is why there are so many books today on self-help and self-improvement, which are very destructive. That's why there's so much money spent today on education, self-improvement. But there is virtue to to want to improve, to grow, to learn, to be better, and to be excellent for the sake of Christ, for the advance of his kingdom and glory. Sadly, most people, though, do not see that the real problem that hinders them is sin and idolatry, selfish ambition, and that without the knowledge of Jesus Christ, they do not have any excellence at all. They walk in darkness and are headed for judgment. Without the knowledge of Jesus Christ, people are bound in sin, idolatry, and false religion, and captive to the devil. And people are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth without Christ. And so Solomon says in Ecclesiastes that they grasp the wind. They follow after things that bring them a whole lot of selfish pleasure, but not godly virtue. Personal success, but not personal happiness. Not spiritual peace. There are all kinds of people today in our culture who are driven to succeed in life, to get better, but instead of following Christ, they follow the things of the world and such things that are destructive to their lives. False religion, secular philosophies, modern psychology, or alcohol, drugs, and sexual morality. Because it's in Christ alone that we have the light of life, and it is following him, learning from him, obeying him, worshiping him, glorifying him, and being conformed into his image that we are made excellent. That we are able to love God and live for his glory, and it is our personal blessing to know Christ, that we might be better. To know Christ and to live for his glory is what makes us better people. Better Christians, better husbands and wives, better parents, better children, better servants, better workers, better employees, better magistrates, better citizens, overall, better people who live for his glory. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a candle and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." That is a solemn charge to the church, to disciples, to be the light of the world as Christ is. Jesus says here in John 8:12 that he's the light of the world, and therefore those who follow him shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Christ came not only to redeem us from sin and to give us eternal life, but also to transform our lives. Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." And so knowing Christ and living for his glory is not only the way to grace and salvation, it's the way to every spiritual blessing as well as a life of godly virtue. Thomas Watson said, "The knowledge of Christ ennobles all our graces, it purifies all our motives, it elevates all our virtues, and it dignifies all of our endeavors." And so this evening we want to look at eight things that together shows us the virtue of knowing Christ and living for his glory. The personal blessing and present reward of knowing Christ and taking up the cross and following him. Now, this is what makes the gospel such a transforming power in history, in society, in culture. When believers give themselves to Christ in truth, learning from him, knowing him, and living for his glory, Christ has the power to transform lives, to bless his people, even to reform nations. When the truth of the gospel is spread through the lives and the testimonies of his people. Knowing Christ and living for his glory, therefore, should be the heart of everything that we do. So let's look at these eight. First of all, knowing Jesus Christ and living for his glory makes for better people. That should be simple and basic. Right? Jesus says here in John 8:12, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." And when Jesus gave the disciples the Great Commission, therefore, Matthew 28, he charged them to preach the gospel, to make disciples who trust him, follow him, love him, and keep his commandments. That is the way to life and salvation, as well as the way to godliness and virtue. Christ not only came to save sinners, but to sanctify his church and people. And so he blesses us with grace, wisdom, the knowledge of God, a love for truth and justice. And that certainly makes for better people in the world. And that's why Jesus said to the disciples in Matthew 5, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before men, that others may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Those who know and follow Christ are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Christians are, by virtue of their faith in Christ, their obedience to God's commandments, the light of the world. The world is otherwise held in heathen darkness, blighted by sin and idolatry, as well as superstition and false religions. But Christ gives to us who believe and follow him the virtue and grace of God that shines in a lost world, a world of darkness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul therefore says, "If our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the god of this world is blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the knowledge of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." Knowing Jesus Christ and living for his glory makes for better people. Knowing Christ transforms the lives of those who are once held in sin and idolatry and bondage to false religion. Augustine therefore said, "To those who take up the cross and follow him, Christ gives not only grace to redeem them, but virtue to transform them." That should be clear. When you see the difference between a pagan culture, an unbelieving society, and all those who live apart from Christ and sound doctrine, differentiated from true believers, it's a completely different world. Now, this is important to see, especially at this time in history, in our culture, where there is growing apostasy and secularism, because we're at a crossroads. And many people do not see that all the advances in Western civilization, civil liberty, the protection of life, health and medicine, science and technology, institutions of mercy and compassion, education, free enterprise, all these are the result of the gospel working in society. But now it's all falling apart and going to ruin as a result of the influence of Enlightenment paganism, the influence of idolatry and false religion. And now there's a blur between the church and the world. There shouldn't be. There should be a distinct difference. The church is to be the light of the world. Believers are to follow Christ by living a life of godly virtue. Knowing Christ and living for his glory makes for distinctly different people. Better people. And growing in the knowledge of Christ and being conformed to his image certainly makes for better Christians. That's the first and most important truth here. In John 15:23, Jesus said, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home in him." What do you think that would do, of course, should affect how a believer lives and acts? See, the best Christians are those who love God first and are examples of godliness, of faith, of devotion, of truth, a life of worship. And therefore, we should want and desire to be excellent Christians, to shine the light of Christ's glory by a life of faith and godliness. Certainly, we're saved by grace through faith alone in Christ, but it's for our greater blessing and to desire to be excellent Christians, to do all that we can to live for the glory of God, to be conformed to the image of Christ. Thomas Brooks said, "The most excellent Christian is he who loves God superlatively, who follows Christ faithfully, and who walks in the Spirit humbly." And so knowing Jesus Christ and living for his glory makes for better people. It makes for godly people, honest people, compassionate people, God-glorifying people. And that's what we especially need, not only in the nation today, but in the church today. Secondly, knowing Jesus Christ and living for His glory makes for better spouses. Right? Knowing Jesus Christ and living for His glory, more specifically, makes for better husbands and wives. Following Christ is the key to a godly marriage, a blessed marriage. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. This, of course, applies to marriage, to the character of husbands and wives. It is Christ alone and the sanctifying power of His word that makes for godly Christian marriages, for strong families, for faithful and godly husbands, as well as devoted wives and mothers. Knowing Christ, learning to follow Him and take up the cross, to live in obedience to His word, is the way to bring peace and blessing and righteousness and sanctification in marriages. Ignorance of Christ destroys marriages, as we see in our culture and society today. Knowing Christ and His word makes us better in all aspects of marriage. Better in our love, better in our service, better in our communication, better in our intimacy, better in our patience and kindness, better in our ability to forgive and overcome sin, better in our ability to serve, and better in our ability to build over years a family. The knowledge of Christ is the way to a godly marriage. Jesus Christ is the Lord and Bridegroom of the church, and for Christian marriages to be blessed, they must be built upon Christ. He is the Redeemer of our souls, and therefore He is the Redeemer of the marriage covenant. And so Paul says in Ephesians 5, marriage is to be built upon the knowledge of Jesus Christ. As wives are to submit to their husbands as unto the Lord, and husbands that love their wives as Christ loved the church. Jesus Christ is the foundation of a godly Christian marriage. It's very simple, but a very profound truth. But the more we know about Christ and learn to love and obey Him, the better we enjoy a godly and sanctified married life. And so believers are to be conformed to His image in life, and in marriage they're to be conformed to His image in love. The greater knowledge of Christ, the greater devotion to Christ, the greater love for Christ believers have for Him, greater marriages will be blessed by Him. William Gouge said, those who love and follow Christ first are those whose marriages are by Him blessed. To be blessed. And the problem why there is so much sin, strife, broken marriages, so much adultery, and divorce is because there are so few who know Christ and live for His glory in obedience to His word. It's very tragic. There are even today thousands of so-called therapists and marriage counselors, books and conferences on marriage, and still marriages are being destroyed by sin and false doctrine. The divorce rate among professing Christians is not much different than the national average. And that's very tragic. But Christ sanctifies relationships. The gospel is the pillar of marriage. And so the Bible is full of godly instruction on marriage and the family. It's the infallible rule for marriage, for husbands and wives. And it promises God's favor and blessing upon our faith and obedience when we know Christ, follow Him, and take up the cross. And He has certainly given commandments on the sanctity of marriage, the blessing of marriage, the relation of marriage, the duties of marriage, and a life of grace and godliness in marriage. And following Christ and observing His commandments not only brings God glory in marriage, but also blessing. Blessing. Husbands learn to love their wives as Christ loved the church, and wives learn to submit to and reverence their husbands as unto the Lord. It's that simple. Martin Luther said, love to Christ is the master key to a blessed home. It makes for virtuous and honorable husbands, loving and submissive wives, as well as faithful and obedient children. And so, when you think about the struggles that believers have with regard to marriage, It's from not looking to Christ and His Word. It's from not depending upon His Word and obedience. Apart from the gospel, faith and repentance and a sincere following of Christ and the keeping of God's commandments, there's only going to be sin and confusion in marriage. And just look at the world today because of feminism, idolatry, when women rebel against God and became alienated from the authority of their husbands as well as their home and family, that produces all kinds of evil, not only in the family, but also in society. It's a wicked generation that even Christians, even Reformed Christians, need to be aware of the dangers of it. Because without Christ, without the knowledge of Christ, His personal excellencies, His divine glory, and the authority of His Word, there's no hope for marriage. There's no hope for husbands and wives. The culture that we live in has become even so bad to the point of blasphemy. The compromise that is even being made in churches today with adultery and divorce and adultery and divorce and so much. It's not difficult to see that following Christ makes for better marriages. Taking up the cross makes for better, more godly marriages. The gospel is the only way to preserve the very nature and meaning of marriage today. And so, in faithfully preaching Christ and His divine glory, His all-sufficiency, we're making disciples, but we're also mending, binding, and strengthening marriages by the bands of truth and love. It's that simple. Knowing Jesus Christ and living for His glory makes for better marriages, makes for godly marriages that glorify God. Thirdly, knowing Jesus Christ and living for His glory makes for better parents. Knowing Christ is the first principle of godly parenting. If we love the Lord first, we'll train our children best. There's no good parenting at all that comes from secularism or that is apart from the knowledge of Christ and it's obedient to His commandments. Discipleship is the best method of parenting. Jesus therefore says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That certainly applies to parenting, raising children, discipleship, Christian education. Those who know and follow Christ are the best parents. In fact, today, those who know Christ and live for His glory actually love their children, raise their children. They don't abort or murder their children. They don't give their children over to the government, to pagan schools, to wicked abusers or false teachers. They bring up their children, as Paul says in Ephesians 6, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That makes for better parents. I know sometimes it's difficult to see all these things in a tight family or a tight Reformed community, but it is very true. The prophet Isaiah said, all your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. Tertullian, therefore, said, good parents are inevitably faithful and godly Christians who follow the Lord. The rest are barbarians. Think of that. Tertullian is very sharp. You look at the world today, at the incredible blindness of parents, the cruelty of parents. There are animals that raise and nurture their young better than parents do today. It's shocking. You see all the negligence and abuse and perverted forms of parenting these days? They come from the world of secular philosophy, paganism, the public school system, modern psychology. The problems our society faces with issues of parenting are caused because people do not know Christ nor follow Him. Now, one of the greatest problems is simply neglect, right? But that kind of neglect that parents show today is a work of darkness. They are in darkness. It's a pattern of the devil. Certainly following Jesus Christ and knowing Him makes not only better parents, it makes good parents, makes godly parents. How can parents be good to their children if they're not bringing them up in the knowledge of Christ, in faith, hope, and love, obeying God's commandments? How can parents show they love their kids if they're not teaching them to worship God, to sanctify the Lord's day, to read Scripture, to love sound doctrine, faithful preaching, to live a life of holiness and godliness, to repent of sin and idolatry, to separate from the world of the ungodly, and to live by faith in the hope of the resurrection and the promise of eternal life. How can they be good parents at all who do not teach their children to know Christ, to love Christ, and follow Him? How can they be good parents at all if they are leading their children to hell? In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 through 9, where the Lord commands us to love Him with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and to keep His commandments, He also exhorts parents to teach these things diligently to their children. Why? This is their wisdom and greatness in the light of all the nations. This is what makes them better. Right? The knowledge of Christ, a life of discipleship, is the foundation of good and godly parenting. Godly parenting comes from knowing Christ, loving Him, and keeping His commandments. It's that simple. Isaiah 38, verse 19, Hezekiah says, "The living man, he shall praise You, O Lord, as I do this day, and the father shall make known Your truth to his children." That is where our blessing lies. That is where good parenting lies. The more parents learn to follow Christ and to keep His word, to make known the truth of God to their children, that's when they're being faithful and godly parents. John Chrysostom said, "What makes for a good and godly husband or wife is not riches, not fame, not worldly honor or social status, but the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and a life of true worship." That's what makes for a good and godly husband or wife. Right? Not riches, not fame, not worldly honor, not social status, the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Knowing Jesus Christ and living for His glory makes for good and godly parents. It makes for the best parents. It makes for Christian parents. The rest, as Tertullian says, the rest are barbarians. Fourthly, knowing Jesus Christ and living for His glory makes for better children. This, of course, follows, but it is very important. Knowing Christ is the path of truth and love for children, all children. And this is not difficult to see because look at the culture of youth today in the world. There are thousands of rebellious and disobedient children throughout the nation. Perverted, sexually immoral, ungodly, and doing the works of the devil. Profane and wicked brats. Wow. And it's not difficult to see, therefore, when Jesus says, "I am the light of the world, he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Think of how that applies to children. Walking in the light of Christ and His truth. Cotton Mather, therefore, said, "To be a good and virtuous child, one must be a child of God who knows and loves the Lord Jesus Christ." To be a good and virtuous child, one must be a child of God who knows and loves the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is a wonderful truth. Children that are not discipled to know and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ are taught to live without God, without faith, without love, without discipline, without self-control, without respect, without obedience, without righteousness, without hope. It is in knowing Christ and following Him that makes for godly children. For the most part, it makes for obedient children, submissive children, respectful children, happy children, wise and discerning children. Through faith and repentance in Christ, children are taught and trained to love God and to keep His commandments. They're taught to be humble, faithful, diligent, true, holy, kind, loving, and obedient. They're taught to serve God and not themselves, and to look to Christ alone for forgiveness of sin and the reformation of their lives and conduct. The children have to be always looking to Christ in faith and overcoming patterns of sin. In Ephesians 6, Paul therefore says that children are to obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right, and it is the first commandment with a promise. Now, that's, of course, a command given to children of believing parents in the church, covenant children. It assumes that parents are following the Lord and obeying His word. the children are obey the Lord first and obey their parents in the Lord for his sake. But certainly, discipleship and following Christ is the best thing for children. It is the way to grace and salvation. It is the way to personal blessing, spiritual peace, godly virtue, and eternal glory. It is the way to a happy life. Following Christ makes children more blessed, more faithful, more intelligent, more disciplined, more happy, more joyful, and more helpful in all aspects. John Chrysostom said, children are trained best when they follow Christ first, for he alone can make them truly good and blessed. And so, certainly to be a good and virtuous child, one must be a child of God. One who knows Christ, follows him, loves him, and learns to overcome their youthful sin, their patterns of their vice. Right? Psalm 103, verse 17 says, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as love him and keep his covenant. So without going into great detail with regard to parenting and Christian education and infant baptism, the role of the ministry, knowing Jesus Christ and living for his glory makes for better children. It makes for children who love God and serve him. And what a blessing and reward this is to Christian parents who take the word of God seriously and disciple their children for the glory of Christ. And with God's blessing, know him and love him and serve him and are instruments to advance his glory in the world as adults. Fifthly, knowing Jesus Christ and living for his glory makes for better workers. Right? Knowing Christ makes people better, more honest and diligent workers and laborers in all aspects of work and service in the world, right? It's not difficult to see that. The knowledge of Christ sanctifies our labors and makes us faithful and diligent to our work. When we know Christ and follow him, we enjoy our work without making an idol out of our work. So, the preaching of Christ is the great work of God that brings life and salvation to the world. It's God's work. But in the making of disciples, it sanctifies believers and their work in the world. That's a wonderful truth. Because it's not difficult to see today in our culture the problem with the workforce. It is not economical and social, it's theological. Our entire culture and the economy needs to be reformed by the Word of God. People need to be saved and brought to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, to repent of their sin and idolatry, so that they know Christ and love him. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Just think of how many people that you know at work and around in the world that are doing work that walk in darkness. There are all kinds of people whose very nature of work is darkness. Right? It's not even a lawful form of work or service. It is darkness. Martin Luther said, to serve Jesus Christ in our employment makes us blessed, while to work for ourselves leads only to misery and death under God's judgment. That's true. See, Christ not only sanctifies our work and labor, he gives us value and purpose to our work and labor. Paul, therefore, says in Romans 12:11 that those who love Christ are not slothful in their business, but are fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Christ sanctifies not only our persons, but our labor. And so in Ephesians 6, when giving directions on the relationship between masters and servants, Paul says that believers are not men-pleasers, but the servants of Christ who do the will of God from the heart, faithfulness and diligence. Why? Christians do not work for men, they work for the glory of God. True believers do. I know that some Christians do struggle with their employment, their character, their discipline, right? They need to be taught and trained to have a godly work ethic. But following Christ makes for better workers, because Christians know why they work and who they ultimately work for. We have a standard. We live for Christ. We observe his commandments. We know that God's work for us is the basis for our work for God, God's work of creation, Christ's saving work on the cross, and the work of the Holy Spirit in us. We're baptized in Christ's name to work for God in His glory, and we know that our work is pleasing in His sight. It has value, it has purpose, because we serve Christ and we are building His kingdom, as well as family. There's purpose in work. Well, that's the whole point of Ecclesiastes, the value and purpose of work, that there is value, purpose, meaning, joy in our work in Christ. But under the sun and apart from Christ, only vanity and vexation of spirit. There's no purpose or meaning to a man's labor apart from Christ. Tertullian said, following the Lord Jesus Christ and obeying His commandments is the strength of our calling and the success of our labors. For those who work for the Lord first will inevitably labor in their calling best. Those who work for the Lord first will inevitably labor in their calling best. And that's why knowing Christ and following Him makes for better employees as well as for better managers. Because Christians are more honest, more faithful, more industrious, more diligent, more hardworking, right? And they have the promise of God's blessing in their work. And you know, the fact is, Christians do virtuous work and valuable work. If you look carefully at the political economics of our society, there is a whole lot of work being done. And billions of dollars being made off of things that are of no value. They're the works of the devil. Really? I mean, look at the sports and entertainment and the culture of idolatry and violence. That's nothing. It's just trash. And they make millions and millions of dollars. It's quite remarkable. But Christ ennobles our work and labor. And it's important to remember, too, that Christ Himself lived a life of poverty, and yet His work was the greatest work of all. Right? His work was the redemption of God's elect. So knowing Christ ennobles our work in labor. Knowing Christ and keeping His commandments makes us better servants, better businessmen, better teachers, better contractors, better doctors, better lawyers, better grocers, better bankers, better auto mechanics, better administrators, everything. Because serving Christ and living for His glory is the reason and reward of our labors. It is not riches that we're looking for, but the honor and glory of God. So knowing Jesus Christ and living for His glory makes for the best workers, the best employees in the world. And that is what the nation needs right now. Not jobs, but godly Christians employed in every part of society, culture, business, and government. Right? To shine the light of the glory of Christ every day in our culture and society. Well, notice sixthly, knowing Jesus Christ and living for His glory makes for better magistrates. The knowledge of Christ and the gospel is the bulwark of godly government. So it is certainly true that righteous, faithful, and godly men who love God and serve Christ make for the best magistrates and governors. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. This certainly applies to civil government, to political office, as well as to all forms of military, justice, police officers, all aspects of civil service. Christ shines the light of truth and justice upon culture and society when believers are put into office. Otherwise, everything turns to darkness. Right? Christians shine the light of God's truth and glory in their work when they are in positions of government and power. And there are all kinds of darkness when government is given over to atheists, to liberals, to unbelievers, to idolaters, to hypocrites, the global warming pagans. Look at the demonic agenda of Biden and his administration now. It is a mess. Why? They walk in darkness. They live in darkness. They are darkness. It is a work of the devil, and it brings ruin to societies when civil magistrates are given over to the devil. That's not difficult to see. Charles Hodge said, "It is the godly Christian's duty for the benefit of the state and society to adorn, when possible, the offices of government, and so to use such positions of civil service for the glory of God, the good of others, and the reformation of society." That is so important today. And tragically, so many churches and denominations are antinomian, given over to a political pluralism, a pattern of idolatry that does not see nor believe in the lordship of Christ and the importance of the light of His glory shining in every aspect of civil government and culture and society. You know, actually, it's very tragic. This whole dispensational and Pentecostal view, Baptist view of culture and society that denies the lordship of Christ has brought a whole lot of darkness. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." That applies to everything. The gospel of Christ is the pillar and platform of truth and justice in the nation. That is why the Great Commission is so vital and important today. And to see that the church is to disciple nations to the obedience of Christ, to observe all of His commandments, that Christ might be exalted in over all things. And Jesus said to go make disciples of all the nations. That was a command, of course, to disciple merely individuals, and merely parents and children, husbands and wives, but heads of state, civil magistrates, judges, and all those in civil authority. The gospel is to redeem sinners and to reform nations. It's clearly what we see in the book of Acts. When the gospel goes from Stephen's defense to the Sanhedrin to Paul preaching before all of the governors on the way to Rome and standing before the Roman Senate and Nero himself. In Exodus 18, the Lord said to Moses that he was to put in office over government of Israel men who loved God and hated covetousness. Psalm 2:10 says, "Now therefore be wise, O kings, be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and you perish in the way when His wrath is kindled but a little." There are hundreds of passages throughout all of Scripture that teaches the importance of Christ's lordship over the state and the importance of Christians shining the light of His glory in the state, like King David. Christians make for better statesmen, better civil leaders, better judges, better magistrates and governors. They know Christ, they know God's commandments, they know how to judge between good and evil. No, they know the grounds of true liberty and are able to stand firm against crime and tyranny and idolatry and injustice and corruption. They know how and when to punish evildoers and to protect life and liberty. John Winthrop, therefore, said, "Christian theology is the bulwark to civil magistracy." Now, Christian statesmen know what justice and righteousness is. They know who are the criminals, who are those that are evil, that need to be punished by the sword. They know how to reward and bless those who are good and keep God's commandments. They know how to bear the sword in truth and how to establish justice and equity. It is amazing to read about, in history, the great ventures of Constantine, of Theodosius, of Justinian and his legal code, of Alfred the Great, of the great German princes involved in the Reformation in Germany, or the many others in Reform countries during the Reformation. I mean, think of the magistrates in England who sat for the Westminster divines and listened to preaching twice a week while they debated and ironed out the Westminster standards. We need a reformation in government. We need godly government. We need men like Oliver Cromwell right, magistrates who fear God, who know Christ, and who will punish the wicked. It'd be a great and wonderful Puritan revolution to see it today. It's tragic, but it's unlikely to happen. Why? The church itself is in a state of apostasy and spiritual declension. Pastors don't even know anything about church history with regard to godly government. But it is certain. Knowing Jesus Christ and living for His glory makes for better magistrates, makes for better judges, better officers of the law. All the ruin that has come to the nation over the last several generations is because of idolatry and false religion. The accommodation of the church to this secular pagan idea that there is a separation between church and state, and therefore of God and government, of Christ's lordship over the state and Christ's lordship over the church. Christ has a sovereignty over both, and there is a distinction, but Christ is the Lord of all. In Joshua 1, when the Lord gave commandment to Joshua to lead the people of God into the promised land, to rule and govern them, He said, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written in it." The foundation of law and justice and government is obedience to Christ and the keeping of His commandments. And so the best and the most virtuous civil leaders and magistrates in the history of the world have all been men of God, those who serve the Lord Jesus Christ and those who protect the church and advance His kingdom. Theodosius, the great Christian emperor, said, "What makes for a good and just king is to live for Christ's glory, have a zeal for His doctrine, devotion to His government, faithfulness to His laws, and service to His church and kingdom." That's Theodosius. I'm not even sure most pastors could say that. Knowing and following the Lord Jesus Christ makes for better magistrates, better civil leaders. They promote reformation in society. They suppress evil and idolatry, wickedness and crime, and they promote that which is righteous and godly. That's the only way to make America great again. It's to make America Christian again, to make America Protestant again, to make it reformed. Well, seventhly, knowing Jesus Christ and living for His glory makes for better citizens. That's closely related, of course. The saving knowledge of Jesus Christ makes for better citizens, or we may say, better patriots. Because apart from Christ, people not only walk in darkness, but they promote in politics and society others who are in darkness. Public policies that are darkness. And think of how what Jesus' words apply to just the common people when He says, "I am the light of the world. He who follows Me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Think of what that means to being a citizen. Right? Because it applies to being good citizens, patriots. Knowing how to serve the Lord by advancing His glory and kingdom in the community, in society, in the nation. Who else knows what is best for a country and a people than those who love God and follow Jesus Christ? The gospel of Christ is the foundation and platform of true government as well as true patriotism. Isn't that a strange paradox? What makes best for knowing how to be a citizen in the kingdom of men is knowing what it means to be a citizen in the kingdom of God. Christians need to get out of their mind the idea that they are only members of the church and can live ungodly in society, promoting a culture of idolatry, going to all the various leisurely pagan things that are known in society. It is a wicked doctrine, and it is common among Christians. You see pastors going to Disney World, pastors going to baseball and football games, pastors doing that. What in the world? They are promoting an ungodly society of paganism and profaning the Lord's Day. That's not good patriotism. That's not building a godly society. That's helping the pagans and the secularists destroy society. And most Christians, because of Baptist theology, dispensational theology, antinomianism, are helping unbelievers and pagans destroy culture and society. Do you see that? It's terrible. Now, it's important to understand that America is not the kingdom of God. But when we know Christ, follow Him, and live for His glory, we advance the light of His glory and the gospel in the country, in society. So what our country needs is not Democrat or Republican, but truth and righteousness shining in the church, in God's people. Right? Society, culture needs revival and reformation. But in order for there to be revival and reformation in the nation, ministers, as well as Christians, need to be the light of the world. Need to shine the light of Christ's truth on the generation and not compromise by partaking in all of the evil things that unbelievers are part of. You know, throughout the Bible, there are all kinds of testimonies with regard to the importance of Christians being a light in the world. We read 1 Peter chapter 2. Right? In Ezekiel, the prophet says, the righteous are the strength of a nation. Psalm 33:12 says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. In Titus 3, Paul says, what makes the best citizen is one who serves Christ and shines the light of his testimony in an evil and ungodly culture given over to darkness. You know, the apologists of the early church often use this argument in the defense of the gospel in the midst of persecution. For example, listen to Diognetus writes in his apology saying this, Christians not only obey the laws of justice, but they surpass the laws of justice by their lives. Right? They're not only good citizens, but they're the best citizens. That wasn't very difficult to do in pagan Greece or Rome. But we are living now in a light culture of paganism. Clement of Alexandria wrote this, by the counsels of Christians and of holy men, states are managed well. Without them, there's only violence, injustice, rape, pillaging, and the spreading of every sin and abomination. That's what we have today now. Now, this is why the Reformation was so important in history, as well as the great Puritan Revolution in England. Because there you see a model for not only godly government, but for the reformation of society by the power of the gospel and the faithful preaching of Christ. And so there are sources, documents, evidences of the advance of liberty and justice and the basis and platform for a godly society. Christians need to know and understand that. Pastors and Christian leaders need to study the Reformation, embrace the Reformation, the Reformed confessions, and throw off this antinomianism that has destroyed the nation. It's destroyed Western civilization. Apart from the knowledge of Christ, there's no law, no standard, nor ethic, no restraint that prevents people from perverting society, corrupting culture. Constitutionalism is an entirely Christian and Reformed idea. In fact, the three branches of American government and the political ideas behind the founding fathers was entirely Christian. And it's been sadly perverted and undermined over the years by secularism, idolatry and false religion, and atheistic views of government and society. And that is truly sad. Knowing Christ first is what makes a citizen and patriot best. The knowledge of Christ and living for his glory is the strength of every good soldier, every good citizen. That is why the Great Commission is of such importance today. And that Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and disciple the nations. We're to disciple the nations, to make nations and societies Christian. Otherwise, nations and societies walk in darkness. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And then finally, knowing Jesus Christ and living for his glory makes for better ministers. Really, this is the underlying foundation of everything else. Knowing Jesus Christ and living for his glory makes for better ministers, better preachers, better counselors, better spiritual leaders who lead others to live for Christ and his glory. In fact, following Christ and taking up the cross in obedience to his word makes for true ministers and Christian leaders. All others are false prophets, liars, and charlatans that lead people away from Christ and the truth. This is actually the point that Jesus is making here in John chapter 8 as he rebukes the Jewish leaders for their false doctrine and their religious hypocrisy. He is telling them that they are the workers of iniquity who walk in darkness because they don't faithfully preach the gospel. They're liars. They're charlatans. Jesus therefore says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That especially applies to the work of the ministry, to the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. It applies to church officers and Christian leaders who are to walk in the light of the Lord. So Jesus' exhortations to the disciples to learn from him, to follow him, to take up the cross, to obey his word, to live for his glory, to advance his kingdom, is first and foremost directed to them as apostles and ministers of the word. They are given a commission to preach and to teach, and they were to be faithful. Jesus charged his disciples to fulfill the Great Commission first as apostles, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded. Now think of this in the light of what makes a true prophet, a faithful minister, and a man of God. The knowledge of Jesus Christ, of the observance of his commandments. The faithful preaching and teaching of the Word of God centers on Christ and sound doctrine. And Jesus gave his charge and commission to his disciples, those who trusted him, those who obeyed him, loved him. They were the light of the world. They were ambassadors of God. They were the messengers of truth and righteousness. They were given by Christ the deposit of truth to bear to the nations, to bring life and salvation to God's elect. Might seem obvious, but the fact of the matter is that following Christ and keeping his commandments is what makes for true spiritual leaders, those who love Christ and know him. Notice closely Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 5, verses 9 through 15, said to the disciples at the end of the Beatitudes. Right? At the end of his Beatitudes, Jesus says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Notice that Jesus is saying this to the disciples, as apostles and ministers of his word, who would be persecuted for preaching the truth. Preaching Christ. Preaching His glory, His personal excellencies. Preaching repentance. Preaching reformation. He's saying this to the disciples. Those who preach the gospel and make disciples of Christ, bring people to truth and salvation, they are the ambassadors of God. And that is a very important truth. All others are false prophets, false teachers, liars, deceivers, and charlatans. And that's the nature of Jesus' word to the Jewish leaders in John 8. George Whitefield, therefore, said, "What makes a minister great is not popularity or the applause of men, but in serving Christ first and best and advancing His glory in the world through the faithful preaching of the Word and suffering for His sake under the cross." His faithful preaching and patient suffering. That is the universal testimony of the early church fathers, the Reformers, and the Puritans, as well as Whitefield and those that were faithful in the Great Awakening. It's faithful preaching and patient suffering. The greatest influence in the world for good, for the glory of God, is the preaching of Christ. Right? The preaching of the gospel. Jesus Christ Himself was the foremost preacher, and He sent out His disciples to bear witness of His glory, of His saving work. Right? And they were to be faithful. John Calvin said, "There's nothing more important in the church and the world than the faithful preaching of Christ and the teaching of sound doctrine." There's nothing more important. Knowing Jesus Christ and His personal excellencies and preaching Jesus Christ and His personal excellencies is what makes ministers and Christian leaders excellent in the eyes of the Lord. Because that is what really brings revival and reformation. That's what sanctifies and builds up the church. That's what brings light to a world of darkness. Not compromising the Word of God. No, it's essential, therefore, for ministers to be faithful to preach the truth. To know Christ and to live for His glory and to preach Christ and His glory. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, Paul, exhorting Timothy, says, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry." It is faithful ministers, reformed ministers, who know and live for Christ, who suffer under the cross, and who promote godliness and reformation that are the ones that Christ recognizes as excellent, that are useful in the church and in the world to bring revival and reformation. And we need more. We need more. So that the light of Christ will be made known in the world, as well as in the church. John Chrysostom said, "If Christ does not shine upon His church through the faithful preaching of His word and the light of His glorious name and doctrine, there will only be darkness." Now, thankfully, there is a lot of light throughout the nation. There is sound and faithful preaching here and there. But in most of the nation, there's a lot of darkness and there's a lot of dimness. And the majority of Christians today, sadly, they don't want to hear the light. They don't want to see the light, hear the truth. They're in the shadows. Right? Most Christians kind of like want to live in the shadows. They don't want to live in the light of the glory of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. They live in the shadows. That's sad. And unless there's true revival, that will continue and it will get worse. So you can see this is the greatest problem in the church in the world today. The ministry and the church are often corrupted by sin, idolatry, false doctrine, and sinful accommodation to worldliness, to political correctness, and a host of other things that keep Christians from truly knowing Jesus Christ and his personal excellencies and living for his glory. As I said, there are a lot of Christians that are living in the shadows. But we must always remember it is faithful and godly ministers in their preaching and teaching that alone, by the grace of God, can make faithful and godly Christians, faithful and godly marriages, faithful and godly families and children, workers and magistrates, citizens and patriots. It is only the faithful preaching of Christ and his word that is able to bring revival and reformation. Otherwise, all is darkness. So we need to pray for ministers and Christian leaders today, to pray that God would give them repentance from sin and selfishness, from compromising with the world. Pray that God would make them faithful to Christ and the truth, to preach the word faithfully without compromise in season and out of season, that Christ would be glorified in the church, and the light of the glory of the knowledge of Christ would shine in all the churches, not only throughout the nation, but in all the world. Because that's what makes for better Christians, better marriages, better families, better workers, better magistrates, better citizens, better people, better churches, better communities, better nations, those who are sanctified in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ and who walk in the light of his glory. Right? Knowing Jesus Christ and living for his glory is a life of spiritual blessing. But it is also the way to personal virtue and a life of godliness. For truly knowing Christ and living for his glory makes us better. Makes us better people. Makes us better husbands, better wives, better marriages, better families, better parents and children, better servants and masters, better workers and managers, better leaders, better magistrates, better judges, better citizens, better politicians and governors, better patriots. In every way, it makes for better ministers and Christian leaders. It makes for better Christians all around the world. In every calling and pursuit, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And so knowing Jesus Christ and living for his glory is the heart of doing anything and everything best. So give him your love who desires it most, and give him your life who deserves it best. Christ is to be glorified. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we bless you and thank you for your grace and mercy to us in Jesus Christ. We thank you that we have a glorious Savior who has shined the light of his countenance, his truth, and his doctrine upon us, as well as his perfect life of obedience. In all of his ministry and preaching and teaching, And instructing the disciples, we see the light of your glory shining in him. And in his death and resurrection, Christ is truly the light of life. To that end, we pray that you would sanctify us by your word. Strengthen us in the knowledge of Christ. Help us to always grow in the knowledge of your word, the knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Savior. The knowledge of sound doctrine, that we might be better in everything, to be excellent Christians, that we might live for Christ and live for his glory, all for your praise. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen.